So I'll start now. So this is an interview with Louise Cox, who will be speaking with me, Bronwyn Hannah, the National Trust of New South Wales Oral History Project. I'd like to thank you for agreeing to undertake the interview. Disclosure of information from this interview will be subject to restrictions that you impose upon completing the rights agreement. I hope you'll speak as frankly as possible, knowing that neither the recording nor any transcript will be released without your authority. This interview is taking place today on the 23rd of February 2024 at your home at McMahon's Point. I'd like to acknowledge that this interview is taking place in the country of the Cammeraygal people and pay my respects to Cammeraygal elders, past, present and emerging. So, Louise, can I begin by asking you about your family background, your parents and how you came to be in the world, their names?
Okay. I was born on the 11th of April 1939, just before the war.
It is.
And at that time my parents lived in Kylie Avenue, Killara.
Okay. What were their names?
Robert Carl Gowing and Bettina Grace Gowing.
Bettina. And what was her maiden name?
Kessel. K-S-S-E-L-L.
Thanks.
Her father was the manager for the Australian runner in 1904 when the Paris Olympics. It's quite hilarious. I didn't know that. To produce a scrapbook one day.
Wow. Was that in Europe, the 1904 Olympics?
Paris.
Paris, how wonderful.
My grandfather, Arthur John Kessel, went via the US and the other one came on a boat to the UK and they met in London or somewhere and then they went over to Paris.
That wouldn't have been his full-time job, was it?
No.
Just an interest.
He owned a place. He was a partner in Hollandale Kessel, which was a jewellers and thing in King Street.
And what about your father's father?
My father, Robert Carl Gowing, well, he was in the retail trade. He was also an accountant.
So did they name the Gowings department store after him?
No, he didn't. No. John Gowing came out in 26 and opened a hatter and nursery shop in George Street somewhere. And then the rest of the brothers came out in 1860 sometime and started Gowing Brothers.
And was that your family then?
That was my grandfather's father. Mm-hmm.
And what did your father do?
Well, he did accounting and then he during the war, he was an assistant manager at Peep's Menswear that Hardy Wilson did the building. In George Street, at the top of Hunter Street.
Don't know that one.
Oh, it's wonderful.
Is it still there?
Yeah. Perpetual. Somebody bought it. And Hardy lived in Melbourne. I mean, you don't need all these details.
Because it's on the record.
What?
It's on the record.
Hardy Wilson married my mother's sister. That's his second wife, and they lived in Kew in Victoria. And he loved Peeps, and all the joinery was made out of Queensland maple and he loved all that stuff. He used to come up to Sydney and go in and see my father and talk for hours and hours.
So did you get to meet him?
Yes, I was about 8. And I met him at my mother's house on a Sunday afternoon tea. And he was sitting on the front veranda and all the family were gathered out in the back near the tennis court. And he was about 6'4". He was a very tall man. And he wore celluloid collars and bow tie. And I talked to him. He was very nice to me.
Do you remember? You must.
Yes, I do remember. I remember it distinctly.
And but what you talked about?
Oh, no. I was only about 8, I think, or something.
Is that when you decided you'd like to be an architect?
No, I didn't know anything about it. I wanted to be an admiral at that time. I remember telling someone. What else do you want to know?
Well, it's a wonderful, I'm sorry, it's a wonderful story. You're grown in... Your parents were living in Killara when you were born. Were there any other children in your family?
No, I'm the eldest. And then when my sister was born, we moved to Arnold Street, Killara.
Okay. And then did you grow up there?
We grew up there. And then I had another sister and a brother.
So there were four of you. And did you go to your local school?
When I was 3, I went to Miss Stanley's school in Kiley Avenue. When I was 3 and 4, and when I was 5, I went to the kindergarten union thing up at Killara Park, which is now the Bird Oldfield Oval, off Rosebery Road.
Is that kindergarten union still there?
I have no idea. I don't know.
Sorry, I just wondered if they demolished it to make way for the Oval.
No, the Oval was always there.
I
used to go up there and talk to the swag when I was 5. I used to go and talk to the swaggies who were camping there after the war.
Hmm.
Until Mum found out and then she yelled at me. I wasn't allowed out. And then I went to Cromhurst, which is a girls' school in Linfield on Tryon Road, and I forget the other street. And then I went to Abbotsley, went in second class for 10 years.
Okay.
At Wurrunga, and I had to go on the train then. So I was nearly seven when I started there.
So young to be on the train by yourself. Kids did it in those days.
We did it. They didn't have cars or petrol stuff. Anyway, every other kid did it. And, it was full of Abbotsley and Barker and Knox and Pinwell, PLC Pinwell kids. We took up the whole train. It was hideous for the passengers, I'm sure.
And what did you think of school? Were you a good student?
I liked school. I enjoyed it a lot and I liked learning things. And I also liked playing sports, so that was good. And Dad built a tennis court in the 1950s, so we weren't allowed to... Well, during the Killara Tennis Club, we had to play at home.
At your place? The
yes.
Tennis club was based at your home?
No, but we weren't allowed to go down the road to the tennis. We had to play at home.
Mm. So you had to bring all your friends home
yes.
for tennis parties?
I never played tennis at school. I played cricket in summer and hockey in winter.
Cricket? They allowed girls to play cricket in the...
Well, we'd been playing cricket for years. Long before Betty Arso went there, we were playing cricket, yes.
I suppose, and was that at Abbotsley as well?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm surprised.
We were very progressive.
I didn't have cricket.
We did maths 1 and 2 properly, and honours and stuff, and the Mr. Baggett from Shaw used to come up on Fridays to teach the secondary school girls who were doing... must have been maths honours or something.
Did you do that?
No, I just did ordinary. I mean, I did Mass one too, but no.
Did you, well, so, well, I'll just talk about school a little bit more. Were there any influences on you at school to make you want to become an architect? Is that where the idea came to you? Or?
No. I started architecture, I'll be honest now, because I wanted to go to the university. I wanted to go since I was five, because it was the longest course I could do, quite frankly. I didn't do art at school, and I couldn't draw, but I could do maths and chemistry, those things.
And why did you want to go to the university?
Because Professor David Myers was a friend of my father's, and he was a professor, he was the Dean of Electrical Engineering at Sydney when I started architecture. And I went to see, and I just thought it was a good thing to do. I could have done anything. It didn't matter what I did.
You mean it didn't matter which subject you did, but you just wanted to...
I liked the sciences and stuff, and I thought, oh, well, architects, that sounds all right.
Wasn't there huge pressure on you in the 50s to get married and start a family?
Oh, well, I didn't even like boys. I had no way. Let's try doing that. But,
so you sort of saw yourself as having a career?
Culturally, I mean, my mother took me to the Art Gallery of New South Wales when I was three. And I chose a postcard of a naked lady with the a peacock feather thing on top of her, which I've got somewhere, I don't know where. And every holidays, Mum would take us to there or the Australian Museum or the Technological Museum. She liked those things, and she took us to all those things.
Had she been to university as
no,
well?
No, she didn't do Latin, but she would have been good at it.
She would have liked to have gone. You can do lifelong learning without university. You can go to
the
museums.
She was very sensible, and she was good with people.
And did she bring up her daughters? Were there three daughters and
yes.
One son? Did she bring up her daughters to feel like you could do anything?
I don't know. We just did what we liked. Dad was in the retail trade. In the end, he had a woman's wear place at Linfield for years. And it was terrible. He'd bring home the best clothes, and we'd say we want this. Someone else would say I want that. And so by the time he had put it in the shop, there was hardly anything left.
And you had all the best.
Of course, we had the best thing.
That sounds like a wonderful adolescence.
I like nice things. I like nicely made things. I like everything to be made properly, whether it's a building or clothes or, you know, furniture
art.
Or whatever.
Did your siblings go on to do... Did your sisters go to university as well?
No, no one else did. My brother did as a chartered accountant. The girls, well, one worked for CSR as a secretary or something, and the other one went into the retail trade and selling stuff in David Jones, I think. Yeah, David Jones.
So were you good at school? Is that partly what made you think you wanted to go to university?
Was
did
I
you
good?
Get
I was wicked, no.
You were wicked?
I was in trouble all the time. Actually, we had a Shakespeare day on Shakespeare's birthday, which I don't know, it was the 23rd or something of whatever it is, I don't remember. We had a Shakespeare day, and every class in the secondary school had to do a scene out of one of his plays. and we all competed with each other. And our class from first year to fifth year always won the prize.
Because of you?
No, I didn't do anything. I didn't even talk. I didn't speak much.
Sex?
No way. I didn't even help. I couldn't make things either, so I didn't have to make the clothes or the scenery or anything.
So why did your class win every year?
Because they were good at speaking, they were good actresses, and they were good at making it look, you know, having decent clothes and decent scenery and stuff.
It's a little bit like once you got to university and they had the university reviews. Were they doing that in your year, that each year would?
No.
Oh, because it was the architecture reviews.
Yeah,
huge.
That was after we left.
Right. It was huge when I was in uni.
I didn't do any of that.
So you went to university because you wanted to go to university and architecture.
Yeah, and I went in 1957.
Mm-hmm. So there weren't too many women in the course,
were there? There were 10 women in first year and 40 men.
Right, so quite outnumbered.
And about 7 of us finally got through, which was pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty good even for the men, at 70%.
I failed third year and had to do it again, and there were no women in that class at all.
When you did it the second time?
Yeah.
Wow.
I was a bit worried about that, but the guys were very good, actually. You know, they didn't.
Can I ask you, because I'm interested in women architects, because I did my PhD on that, can I ask you who were the other women in the course with you, who started or ended? Anyone you remember?
Sue Clark and Caroline Cullis-Hill went straight through. And they did well. Then I got through, and then there was Margaret Odling, who eventually got through. There was Helen Evans, who eventually got through. And there was another person whose name I can't remember.
Doesn't matter. You don't have to remember them all. So did you find... Shall we move on to talk about university?
Yeah.
Did you find... I'll just start with the obvious. Like, did you find being a small group of women in a much larger cohort of men doing an architecture, which was more thought to be a men's game at that time, I think, did you find that difficult at all? Did you encounter any difficult problems
Not
with
really,
it?
Not really, because I tried to, be men. But we held our own, so that was just too bad. We weren't shrinking violets.
No. I mean, you wouldn't have expected it to be completely straightforward.
It wasn't straightforward. It was worse when we'd finished and tried to get a job. That was worse. But at the university, we were all good friends. We all had parties together and forever. We did play sport, faculty sport. I used to go around and make these girls play cricket and hockey and whatever it was, tennis and stuff.
And why was that?
What?
Why was that?
Because I thought I liked sport and I liked doing it. I actually played university hockey.
That would have been really vigorous.
I was in about the second team or something. I also played university golf, and I was always a reserve, which was great. It didn't matter what my golf score was. We'd go to Adelaide or Brisbane or Melbourne or somewhere and play on these amazing courses. It was great.
Very privileged. So I didn't ask you, this was Sydney University, aren't
yes.
you? Not, I think UNSW had started its course for
yes,
women maybe
yes.
by that time.
But it was the University of Sydney, I'm going to call it, because that's its name. I hate everyone calling it Sydney University.
Well, it's official now, isn't it? It is the University of Sydney, isn't it?
It always has been the University of Sydney, the first one in the country.
Yeah, you're right. But we always call it Sydney Uni. Yeah, the decade. But now everyone, even the youngsters who are going there now, call it.
And they decided to build the first bit of architecture across the road when we were in third year. It must have been 59.
You mean the architecture building?
Yeah.
Across City Road?
Yeah.
Oh.
And all the girls, there was a common room or something up the top. And all the girls, we made the curtains, we chose the furniture, and we we all did it. The girls did that, and then the boys threw away some of the furniture off the top, which when they were drunk, and that really got under my skin. I didn't like that at all.
No. What did you do?
I did.
So that's the Wilkinson building. Were you involved in any other way with the design or the...
I wasn't involved in the design at all. It was Tom O'Mahony's design, the original one.
Did people think it was a good design?
Like no, it wasn't. And then later, I think, MSJ did something, that next bit, with somebody else. I don't know, did it? When Peter was the dean.
Peter
Johnson.
Right. Who was the dean when you were there?
H. Ingham Ashworth.
Uh-huh.
Major H. Ingham Ashworth. From the Indian Army.
Mm.
And Mr. Edlin was actually Colonel Edlin, and he was treated like dirt by by Ashworth. He's awful. Edlin was wonderful, but he sold us the paper, for drawing paper and stuff. He would have been telling Ashworth what to do. It should have been reversed.
Because he knew a lot more about architecture.
Well, he knew a lot about for the army.
Oh, right.
He's a much higher.
You'd
rank.
Be much more senior.
I couldn't deal with that bit. I didn't think that was fair.
I haven't thought about that. It must have been tricky for men coming out of the army and having different positions in civil society.
I'm trying to get a position in civil. That was the real problem, I think.
Mm. Was Lloyd Rees?
Oh yes, he's wonderful. Yes, for in first year he took us down to the. I was telling someone last night. He took us down to the gallery, New South Wales Art Gallery, and walked around the Australian section and gave us the history of Australian art. It was wonderful. So we were smitten from then on. And then we had Roland Wakeland as well.
Wow. For art classes?
Yeah.
Both of them?
Yeah. Mm. And we had so Ashworth taught us history. Greek and Roman, and Harry Woffenden taught us history for the next bit, which must have been Gothic and Romanesque and something, and I don't know, I forget. Arthur Baldwinson taught us Australian history.
Australian architectural history?
Yeah.
And who?
We never did American, we didn't know anything about Asian or anything. It was all, that history book.
I bought it recently.
I've got it somewhere. Yeah. Where is
the classic? The classic.
Yeah. Anyway, we use that.
So that was very European.
It's all European. We hadn't got a hope in hell, but someone did teach us about Scandinavia because I thought that was amazing.
Mm.
And I couldn't wait to go there.
And but it's also good that they taught you Australian history, because I don't think they were doing much of that before the 50s.
No. What did they teach you? Anything?
I didn't do architecture. I did art history.
Oh, I see. Mm.
Yeah. I think they were teaching it still into the 80s a little bit, and then I think they don't teach Australian now at all.
It's appalling.
Mm.
Really bad.
Now we've got so much more to tell them. Mm. So, did you, it sounds like university lived up to your expectations.
I loved it, but when I failed third year, I wasn't very happy. I had to do it all again too. They wouldn't let me. I failed art and design. I suppose they're quite basic. But I did all right in, art, science and all the other things.
That's terrible to not just make you repeat.
But it was good, because it actually was good. I was really, I never failed anything in my life except French for the leaving certificate, because the teacher and I didn't get on. And it was a bit of a smack it in the face. So then I got credits after that all the time. I'd stop playing golf on Wednesdays and naughty things like that.
Were your family cranky with you for failing, or was it just yourself?
Yes, because I didn't get a Commonwealth Scholarship in first year, and my grandfather had to pay. Then I passed, so then I got picked one up. So for second and the first one of third year, I had the Commonwealth Scholarship. And then he paid again in third year the second time, and then I picked the thing back up again for fourth and fifth year.
Mm. Wow. Yeah, so that did have an instant impact
on
me.
It did actually bring me back to reality.
Which grandfather was that who paid?
Your father, Gowing.
That's wonderful, so to have a grandfather supporting you in that endeavour.
I was very lucky he did, because my father didn't want me to go to that terrible university with all those loose women and all those funny people I was going to meet.
Ah.
And John Kerr persuaded him on Newport Beach that I should go.
As in the later
John
Governor
Kerr.
General?
Yeah.
So he was a friend of his?
Yeah, no, he was the father of a friend, my best friend.
Ah. Gabriel Kibble?
Yeah, she went to school with me.
Oh.
So, we met in 1947, and I went there.
You met
Gabriel
at Abbotsford?
In 1948, he gave the address at the speech day at Abbotsford. He'd just been with Everett to the States to start the United Nations.
Wow. Bert Everett.
And he gave, it was amazing, fantastic, I'll never forget that.
That's amazing.
And in those days I knew everyone in the school. I had a really good memory and I knew them all as I went up. I didn't know anyone below me, but I knew everyone above me, even if I wasn't second class.
And was Gabriel in the same year?
Yeah.
Right. And so,
and I used to stay with them. They used to have a quiz at dinner time, and I never had a quiz at my table. Mine was shut up and eat your dinner. If you don't eat it, you're not getting any more.
And what kind of quizzes did they have? Or was that Dad or Mum who ran the quiz?
John.
John.
Oh. Peggy was nice, so she was lovely.
Penny was another.
Peggy was a mother.
The mother,
all right. That was good. I did get a shock though when I had to sort of have answers. Well, I didn't have that kind of upbringing at all.
Were they like political questions or historic?
Probably historical.
Mm.
Or something. I mean, the people who ran Peeps gave Mum a book on our home or whatever it was. I've got it now somewhere, a big book on English houses, and if we were good, Mum would read it page of it a day to us at night.
Yeah.
That was good. That's I learnt about architecture through that.
That's amazing. What a strange, not a storybook, a book on English architecture.
Oh, I had storybooks as well.
Yeah. So that's lovely.
All that stuff. But no, it was interesting because she liked it all. And when they lived in London, she must have gone to see some of these stately homes or whatever it was. I don't know, really.
It's interesting from a heritage point of view, because Gabriel Kibble went on to be the chair of the Heritage Council when I was working there. So yeah. You both went through quite different pathways.
And ended up in the heritage. Yeah.
Get interested in the heritage world.
That was because of my mother. I mean, she went on the women's group tours all the time. She'd take me along if it was the holidays.
For the National Trust?
For the National Trust.
Wow, that's interesting. I didn't. So you became involved in the National Trust when you were a child still?
Well, no, when I was at university.
Oh, okay.
You would have been. And I really liked the National Trust. So when I, at my first pay packet, I paid to become a life member of the National Trust in 1963.
Wow. What an investment. There wouldn't be too many people who could say that.
No one knew that I was a life member, because I suppose it was Gowing, not Cox.
Oh, that's something you can look up in the records.
And we did a hell of a lot for the National Trust Junior Group when it first started. We did miles of, we used to go out on the weekends, or all our friends, we went out in cars and did trips and looked at buildings and drew them and whatever.
So what was the junior group for the National Trust? When did that get started?
1966.
All right, so you were already a member for a few years before...
I'd been in Europe though, yes.
All right. Well look, let's keep going back to... of course I want to hear more about the National Trust, but we'll just keep going back to... So you were at university for 6 years, I suppose, doing the architecture course, or was it 5 years in those...
It was 5 years, I had to do it third year again, so it was six.
So it was... Right. And just one more question. Was there any particular people that influenced you, that you met at university, or teachers, or was there anything that got you interested in... Architecture,
all the other students taught me, I mean, about music and literature and stuff like that.
Mm.
I like reading, I like history and all, so that was good. They were, you know, a lot of them, Bob Hughes was in our year, he failed as well. He gave
well,
up.
You're in good company.
I know.
That's the man who wrote Future Shock and the History of Australian Art. Fatal Shaw, yep.
And he did the cartoons. He was very good cartoonist.
Oh.
And, well, Philip Cox was could draw anything all the time. He was very good.
He in your year?
Yeah. And Darryl Conybeare. He and Darryl and Philip always vied for the prizes.
And when did you become friends with Philip?
I've known him since I was about five at the Sunday school picnic in Kalara.
Which Sunday school was that? Which church was that?
It's an Anglican. But I didn't see him then. We met on Kalara Station.
Sorry?
On the first day of architecture, we met on Kalara Station. I was meeting another friend, Caroline Cullisill, and he saw us, we had to take this clipboard with us, with a pen or something, and he came up to us and said, "Oh, are you going to do architecture or something?" So then we all were this terrible gang who did architecture for years.
The Kalara gang?
No, just the first year people.
Mm.
I mean, I still see lots of them, the ones who are still alive. And it's good. So they all started on the station.
That's wonderful.
So we were all good friends. We helped each other. We borrowed notes from each other and all that stuff.
And did you start going out with Philip?
No.
While you're at university?
No.
No?
No, I didn't go near him. Other people were. I'm not going to interfere.
So can I ask, I thought I'd ask about your marriage and your personal, like, children and...
My marriage was a disaster. We've got two children, two girls.
Charlotte
and Sophie. And,
I think they're two names I'd choose if I had girls. I reckon both those names I'd have chosen if I had any girls.
Well, Charlotte was easy because there's a lot of Charlottes on everyone on his side of the family and my side of the family. Mm-hmm. Sophie was a problem.
But it means wisdom.
Then I found. Well, he wouldn't agree to any of the other names. I didn't like the other names, so I refused to let her be called those names. So we had a fight about that.
We fought too. I think it's much harder than people let on to choose names. We didn't talk about it for about 8 months. We came up with a decision at the last minute.
We were still fighting about it when I was in labour.
So when did you start? I will just ask. When did you start going out with him? If it wasn't during the university days.
After I came, well, I went out with a whole lot of different people. When I came back from Europe, I was one of them.
So you went out with different people when you were at university?
Yeah.
And then you went to Europe for how long?
I went there for 2 years.
Okay.
I went to Italy because I had relations there and met them, and they had seen them since before the war. And so that was interesting. I don't speak Italian and they don't speak English.
Mm.
So that was interesting. Mm. One of the aunts, we used to have the French, even though I failed French, we had the French dictionary between us to work out what was what. I went to Europe first. And then...
Did you go with any friends or just on your own?
No, I went by myself. I met about 50 other like-minded people on the boat.
Of course it was a boat. It would have been about 63 or something.
Yeah, 64.
Yeah.
And it took 4 weeks and I get seasick. I hate it. But it was good to have other people.
And then you
boys
met
boys and girls.
As,
and
as you went on, then you would have kept up with them.
Yeah. Some of them, yeah. And... the boat was Italian and it ended up in Genoa. So the relations had to come and pick me up. And I expect them to be there at 10 o'clock in the morning. They just said they're not coming till 3 o'clock because Marco had to work and come out. They had to come down from Milano or something like that. And he was one of the aunts, the eldest son, he'd been to Canada and could speak very good English. And he said, I had a horrible accent. I said, so do you. Because he had a Canadian English accent.
That's a good start.
So I fought with him too. He was a very funny guy, actually. So I stayed there. I stayed with them in Milan. I stayed with the younger sister's family. Then I went to Finale in Liguria. Stayed with the elder sister, with her family. Down there for a while, and then I went off to Perugia to try to learn the language properly.
And did you?
Better, but still bad. So I've been trying to learn it all my life. Anyway, I went there for 2 months and meanwhile I tried to buy a car. And I went off to, I caught the train. I bought a car in Switzerland. It was a second-hand Volkswagen Beetle. And Marco said, that's no good, that's stupid, you shouldn't have done that, you've got to take it back. I said, what? Anyway, he rang up the people, he screamed at the poor man who sold it. I had to take it back and he had to give me the money back. So I had to go up in the train and do all this. It was a good experience. I'd never done anything like that in my life. So then I remembered I had a friend who was in Germany somewhere who lived down the road from me at Kalara. And he worked for ICI. He was in Frankfurt. So I actually caught the train up there and he helped me. And I bought a new car then. And drove that around.
And how did you have any money to buy a new car?
Oh, well, when I was at the bank before I left, the bank manager was stupid and said to me, if there's anything we can do to help you, let me know. So I did.
I didn't think women could get loans very easily.
Well,
in
no. Well, I only wanted 2,063. Must have been pounds. That's what it was, 2,000 quid.
Mm.
Anyway, there he let me have it. It was good because then I could do what I liked, when I liked, how I liked.
Mm. Mm.
And when I was up in Frankfurt, the guy said, oh, I'm going travelling in about a month all around Europe. And I'm going with a friend and I offhandedly said to him, well, if it doesn't work, let me know. So he wrote to me in Milan. By the time the letter went from Milan to Perugia, he was leaving the next day. So I rang them up in Frankfurt. Thank God that girl on the switch spoke English. But he was out doing something, getting his car registered or whatever it was. Anyway, then I sent him a telegram because that's all he could do. And I said, you know, tell me if you want me to come. But he didn't answer it properly. So I just took off anyway and went and met him.
And who was this?
A guy called Warren Haynes.
An Australian?
Yeah.
Oh.
And so we travelled through Europe for a month or two. One behind the other.
In two cars?
Yes.
Ah.
That was a lot. What are we going to do? We had two cars.
Can I just go back one step? When you said that you stayed with your relatives in Italy, where did you, you sound like you had a whole Anglo kind of forebears.
I did.
So how did you have any Italian relatives?
Because one of the Anglo-Australians married an Italian.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Sophie Ambrosia Reddall married Luigi Vanzetti.
Okay.
And he was not the murderer. So there's a whole Italian side.
Mm.
So then they had my grandmother, and she married my dad's father.
So they weren't, this was
so
Italian.
She was half Australian, half Italian.
Right, and there's Italian migrants back in the 19th century.
He wasn't a migrant.
Oh, she went to...
No, Giulio, whatever his name was a medical doctor, and he was... The Riddles came from near farms near Albion Park, and Sophie Ambrosi met Luigi Vanzetti, and they got married at All Saints Albion Park. I don't know what he did. No one can tell me what he did. One of his brothers was a metallurgist and worked in the gold fields in Western Australia.
Mm-hmm.
So half of them came out there. And anyway, it's a long story.
But yeah. A bit unusual. I mean, there were millions of, I don't know, hundreds of thousands of
in that
Italians came out after the post-war period, but not so many of them.
Now he was just touring around visiting his brother.
Ah. Yeah.
And then one of them ended up in Forbes doing fast. I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, just sorry.
Anyway, that's another side.
So when you were in Italy, did you, was this European trip planned to look at architecture?
Of course.
And heritage? So did you see, like, was that the focal point?
Oh, yes, that was the start of me. Look, well, I just loved it.
Mm.
I went, I did 60,000 kilometres around Europe and the UK.
Wow, 60,000, that's a lot.
I know, it's good.
Must have gone a lot of back and forwards and
went up and down and round. I landed in January. I didn't go to the UK till about it must have been July, because Warren and I were in The Hague, and then we went to the beach. Well, the beach, we were listening to Wimbledon. And it was the start of Wimbledon. When, by the time we'd been to Denmark and whatever, and went got to London, it was near the finals of Wimbledon. And he had to start work at ICI, so he went to the office to say hello. I'm me, and they said, "Oh, would you like to go to Wimbledon?" And I remember I said yes. It was nothing to do with me, but. And they gave us tickets to the finals of the men's singles and the doubles or something.
Magnificent.
It was fantastic.
That would be a career even now, wouldn't it?
I know. And I've never been again. One time I was in London with the kids, and we listened to Cedric Pioline and Tim Singer, the Englishman, playing till 9 o'clock at night. And watched it on TV in the hotel. But that's as close as they got to it.
And was it great?
Oh, it was fantastic.
Good.
I've never forgotten.
While you were travelling around, so Warren, like ICI is glass, isn't it? So Warren wasn't an architect.
ICI is chemicals.
Chemicals, okay. So he wasn't an architect.
He worked for Dulux. He was an economist. He did economics at Sydney.
Right. So he talked about the economic places, and you talked about.
You had to come with me to look at the art.
Oh, you're really good to go with. Did you go? I know a lot of people in that generation would go around and meet up with Utzon or meet up with architects, go and sort of take the opportunity to introduce yourself. Did you do that?
No. I did it the next time. Anyway.
Many years later.
72, Philip won a. The Sizolation Scholarship or something or other. And he said he was going to look at small offices, so we went all around the world with one of the directors of MSJ. And
what was MSJ?
We had 3 months looking at small offices. Was great. So
that would be
we did it all then. Mm. It was amazing.
And you, by that stage, were established in business a bit yourselves, I suppose.
I married him the day before we left. And I was working by then with McConnell, Smith & Johnson. But that
and
was
he was as well?
What?
Was he as well?
No, he had his own. He had his own. He start. He and Ian, well, Philip won the. He didn't win. He was given the job of building Tokau, the agricultural. CB Alexander Agricultural College at Paterson in 1963.
Like straight out of university?
In a year after he left.
Wow. Because it's now heritage listed as a great work of modernist.
Finally. That is the only thing at Phillips that's listed. All the rest have been pulled down.
Mm.
It's appalling.
Mm.
Well, in 1962, there's a Victorian terrace house just there, next to the two yellow ones, street. We bought, four of us as students, and finally we bought that terrace house. And Ian and Philip took it over. It was registered as a, it wasn't residential, even though the council thought it should have been. It was a business, and we bought the property and ripped it. Made it look nice, and Ian Mackay and Philip set up in there.
That's interesting, because there was another kind of terrace up near North Sydney Council where they...
In Ridge Street. That wasn't Philip, that was the inn.
So that was Ian Mackay up there as well. And so there was a whole bunch of really interesting...
Yeah, they were all up there, but by then Philip and Ian had parted.
Right. So Ian and Philip started down here and had
it. Yeah, and they did... they parted in 1968, I think it was.
Right. There was another architect involved with Tokau, wasn't there?
Sorry?
Was there another architect involved with Tokau apart from Ian Mackay and Philip Cox? Okay.
Oh, well, yeah, there were people who worked on it, lots.
Yeah. No, sorry. I did go and do a tour of it with the Heritage Office when they first started looking at it about 10 years ago.
Well, Eric Martin is a very good CMP on it, actually, because he was looking after it. Eric did the CMP.
Right. Okay, well, we're jumping around. Can you tell me the address of that first, the name of the Victorian terrace they bought? What was the address?
68 Blues Point Road.
Right. Because that's sort of, it's a significant part of its history in a way that might not be apparent now.
Oh, no. Anyway. We sold it to Philip in the end. He actually owns it himself.
Still.
It's not in any of our other things.
Mm-hmm.
But a few years ago we ripped it apart and made it into a house again. So now it's a house.
Right. So that was the first thing you bought with Philip, I suppose.
Yes, and Philip Atkin and David Gray. We didn't. We fixed up ourselves.
Mm-hmm. And that was sort of straight out of the university?
We were still doing our exams.
Oh. So then, and this is just before you went overseas to Europe for 2 years?
I didn't go till six. Yes, the year before.
Mm. Wow, a lot was happening. Jumping straight to
the point. We always do things, millions of things together. I remember. We bought some stone from somewhere to build a stone wall out back. I didn't realise how heavy that was, and I rolled it on my foot and nearly squashed my foot.
Mm.
And I remember limping home and having to walk from Killara Station to where I lived, and I was in absolute agony, and I was supposed to have been at university, and I wasn't. I was doing manual work. I had to pretend that I hadn't done anything to my mother, and I was in absolute agony. I could hardly put my shoe on.
Lucky you hadn't broken it.
I was very lucky.
Because you weren't going to get any medical help.
Well, I wasn't going to admit that I wasn't.
So we're bouncing around a bit here. So. I'll just go back to, so when you were travelling to Europe, it was just more as a tourist, us looking at all the wonderful things that you've been learning about for the last...
Yeah, I was a young architect and I wanted to see the world, and I told them I wasn't coming back.
Oh, you're planning to live the rest of your life in Europe?
Well, I didn't care where I lived, I wanted to get out of home, leave the nest. I
wanted
to work. I actually wanted to work in Scandinavia.
Mm. And did you try to get a job while you were there?
Yeah.
And did you get a job?
Yeah, but not up there. I mean, I went to Copenhagen. I went to Denmark with Warren. We went up there. And then we came back through Belgium and Holland. We'd been all over Germany first, because he wanted to see Germany. And, I really wanted to get a job there, but I didn't get one. I ended up getting one finally in London. I finally got a job with Chamberlain, Powell and Bonn.
Chamberlain?
Powell and Bonn. They did the Barbican.
Wow.
And a whole lot of other, and they were doing the University of Leeds, and I worked on the physics building. It was really good, they were lovely. people to work with.
Did they have many women architects?
No, but they had some.
I believe that the British profession was better at giving women opportunities.
You must be joking. I rang up. I couldn't get a job when I got to London because I was a girl.
Oh.
And I rang up one of these people and said, we don't employ women. And I thought, thanks, mate. Anyway, I met the man who lived upstairs from me, knew some people in the RIBA journal editorial office or something. That's how I got the connection to Chairman Powell and Bond. He said, they're looking for people, why don't you ring them up? So I did, and then I got a job there immediately.
Mm.
And they treated us like a family.
That's beautiful. And it would have been your first professional job. So
no, I'd worked for Petal Thorpe for a year.
Oh, before you left Sydney. Oh, that's good. That's
I had to go, and, well, I tried 50 people. They weren't, you know, they weren't employing women here either. It was hideous. 50 offices I walked around trying to get a job.
Wow.
Finally, I had to go and see Graham Thorpe on the scene. Maybe my father rang him up in the end, I don't know, because he lived opposite them from years ago. Anyway, I got one there, so I worked there for
and
a year.
Were you the only woman there?
No.
So they
quite
they,
a lot.
They had it. They I haven't heard that they were good at employing women.
They had lots of different people.
Mm.
Students and emigres and many, many people.
I guess you were getting paid less than men at that stage.
Yes.
Mm.
So it made it a bit more attractive to have you.
Well, I don't know. Anyway, at least I got paid. That's where I got enough money to
go travelling.
No, to pay for them.
Oh,
the life membership. The
so that was the job.
Yeah. So, anyway, then as I said, I tried to get. I finally got. Went to. Chairman Powell and Bond, they were really good. And I thought, I don't know anything, but I did. I knew much more than the American boy who couldn't even draw a line.
Wow.
And I said, how did you pass your exams if you didn't do any drawing even? I mean, I was cheeky by then. And he was hopeless.
Did he have a reason?
I'm sure he must have got someone else. He really, honestly, I can do architectural drawings, but I can't do freehand or anything. He couldn't even do that. He couldn't even roll a pencil. Anyway.
And
they asked me, would I do the sewage diagram of the whole of the campus of the University of Leeds? I didn't know what they were talking about. But I made up something and they said, yeah, well, that'll do. So.
Was that designing the sewage?
Well, just kind of a layout, I don't know.
Mm.
Then
do
I got onto the building, which is easier to deal with.
Yeah, no, do you think that would be a whole set
of
considerations?
Course. I don't know why I was. They probably didn't know what. They probably want to see what I knew.
Mm.
I have no idea.
But a bit of common sense. So how long did you work with them for? I think we're getting a bit tired, so I think we should,
you
and
should
I also need to go and get my car.
Yeah.
Should we have a little break and let's sort of...
Do you want another cup of tea? Do you?
I'm fine at the moment, thank you.